Let's read together Zechariah chapters 4 and 5. In these chapters, we have three more of the eight prophetic visions of Zechariah: the vision of the golden lampstand, the vision of the flying scroll, and the vision of the woman in the basket. Let's begin by reading Zechariah chapter 4. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my lord." And he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." Then I answered and said to him, "What are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left?" And I further answered and said to him, "What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?" Then he answered me and said, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my lord." So he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth." Let's begin with some background notes. The first six chapters of the book of Zechariah contain eight prophetic visions that God gave to Zechariah. When Zechariah had these visions, the Jews had already returned from their 70-year captivity in Babylon, but the rebuilt temple of the Lord was still not finished. In fact, there had been a delay of about 15 years because the people had become discouraged, as well as threatened from the enemies in the surrounding Persian provinces. So these prophetic visions of Zechariah were given to encourage the people and motivate them to finish the job of rebuilding the house of the Lord. God was in control, and as long as the people looked to the Lord, he would enable them to do the work of rebuilding the temple. Verse 6, "No mountain barrier or obstacle could hold back the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of completing the rebuilt temple, as well as the Lord's continued blessing in the future," as we see there in verse 7. Zerubbabel, the godly governor of the Jews who returned from captivity, would lead them in finishing the job of rebuilding the temple, verses 9 and 10. How encouraging for Israel, and how encouraging for us as well. No mountain barrier or obstacle, verse 7, can hold back God's blessing on our lives as we follow the Lord. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for Zechariah chapter 4. So doctrinal point number 1, at the time of the end, Israel will be a witness to the light of the world. At the time of the end, Israel will be a witness to the light of the world. We see from verse 1 that Zechariah had fallen asleep, not the first believer to doze off under the sound of the word. Now in this fifth vision, Zechariah saw a menorah-like candelabrum, a seven-branched lampstand, like the lampstand of the tabernacle or temple. This lampstand had a continuous supply of oil to its lamps. Two olive trees supplied the olive oil through two pipes to a bowl on the lampstand, which in turn supplied the oil to the seven lamps through other pipes. Now, the meaning of this encouraging vision was that Israel would be restored to their God-given role of being a light of testimony to the world. Remember, Israel is in view here in the context, not the church. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, represented by the oil, Israel would be a testimony to the world for the Messiah, the true light of the world, represented by the lampstand. Remember, the lampstand is typical of Christ as the true light in both the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, God says of his servant, the Messiah, "I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Israel will be the means by which this testimony will be carried out to the ends of the earth. The testimony would begin in Zechariah's time with the witness of Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest, represented in the branches of the two olive trees, but would continue on to the end times with the witness of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists of Revelation chapter 7, and in particular the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11 during the time of the Great Tribulation. And Israel's witness will continue right up into the millennial kingdom of Christ. In the end time, Israel will be a witness to the light of the world. Doctrinal point number two. At the time of the end, wickedness will be exposed and judged. At the time of the end, wickedness will be exposed and judged. Zechariah chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. "Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' So I answered, 'I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, 'This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timbers and stones.'" In this sixth vision, Zechariah sees a flying scroll, not a flying magic carpet or a flying squirrel, but a flying scroll. It was a large scroll, 15 feet by 30 feet, and it was seen flying in and out of houses around the world. On the flying scroll were written the curses of God's law. The meaning of the vision is quite obvious. Evil will ultimately be exposed and judged, and it will be swift, as portrayed by the flying scroll. Now, in Zechariah's day, as well as our own day, people are able to hide sin and wickedness, but ultimately they will not get away with it. When the Lord returns, all wickedness will be exposed and judged. There will be no sweeping of sin under the rug. Let me ask you, if the flying scroll were to visit your home or dorm room or office, what would it find? Would it just fly in one window and out the other? Or would it linger because certain sins and wickedness would have to be exposed and judged? In the end, there will be nothing hidden. It will all come out in the wash. Now is the time to bring your sin before the Lord and receive forgiveness. At the time of the end, wickedness will be exposed and judged. Doctrinal point number three. At the time of the end, wickedness will be removed and banished. At the time of the end, wickedness will be removed and banished. Zechariah chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. "Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, 'Lift your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth.' So I asked, 'What is it?' And he said, 'It is a basket that is going forth.' He also said, 'This is their resemblance throughout the earth. Here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket.' Then he said, 'This is wickedness.' And he thrust her down into the basket and threw the lead cover over its mouth. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. So I said to the angel who talked with me, 'Where are they carrying the basket?' And he said to me, 'To build a house for it in the land of Shinar. When it is ready, the basket will set there on its base.'" In the seventh prophetic vision, Zechariah sees an ephah, or large basket, with a woman sitting inside. A lead disc cover was keeping the woman restrained from getting out of the basket. Then in the vision, two other women with wings come and pick up the basket containing the restrained woman and remove the basket to the land of Shinar, or Babylon. The Bible is not teaching here, by the way, that there are female angels. Remember, this is a vision. And Zechariah sees two women with wings, not angels. Only a little interpretation of this vision is given to Zechariah. So what is its meaning? Wickedness, represented by the woman in the basket, is now under restraint and under control and eventually will be removed and banished. Where organized rebellion against God began, the Tower of Babel, there it will end in Babylon. Wickedness will have run its full cycle. All organized evil will be removed from the land of Israel. In fact, worldwide wickedness will be banished. You know, this vision may be more than symbolic. The city of Babylon is being rebuilt today. Furthermore, Revelation 17 and 18 predict that in the end times there will be a worldwide idolatrous system of religion, politics, and commerce centered in Babylon. This false and evil system is pictured in Revelation as a woman, a prostitute called Babylon the Great. But this system will be overthrown with the return of the Lord to this earth and the setting up of His glorious millennial kingdom. What a great time that will be. And what an encouraging vision for Israel and for us as well. At the time of the end, wickedness will be removed and banished. Practical application. Remember, bigger and more beautiful is not necessarily better. Remember, bigger and more beautiful is not necessarily better. Let's go back to verse 10 of chapter 4. For who has despised the day of small things? The small things here were Zerubbabel's temple and courtyards. This temple complex was nothing compared to the size and grandeur of the former Solomon's temple. But that's okay, says the Lord. Bigger and more beautiful is not necessarily better. It's the attitude of heart that counts. If the Lord is in it and the work is being done for the Lord and by the Lord, that's what really counts. And it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 6. We all need to learn this lesson, don't we? We tend to think that bigger and more beautiful church buildings are better. Not necessarily. Some of us think that bigger and more talented Christian music and drama presentations are better. Not necessarily. We think that bigger and more organized ministries are better. Not necessarily. Bigger and more beautiful is not always better. Let me ask you, are you discouraged right now because you're involved in a small church or a small ministry? Listen, the question is not size and grandeur. The question is priorities and attitude of heart. Is the Lord in the midst and number one? Is your fellowship looking to the Lord and not to human might and power? Is your church or ministry bearing witness to the light of this world as emphasized in this vision, vision number four? Then don't despise the day of small things. Remember, bigger and more beautiful is not always better.